Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore goddess shrine rituals. I'm going to share some experiences with my own journeys to goddess shrines, as well as share some ways of creating and working with a goddess shrine in your own home. To aid me in this experience, I've actually set up a goddess shrine. Those of you who are listening live through Blog Talk Radio, CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, I invite you to use your imagination. And for those of you who are on the Selena Fox Updates Facebook Live page, you'll actually see I have some images here. They're actually from my home altar to the cat goddess Bast that I will be working with tonight to illustrate my points and to have some visual aids. So let us begin with an invocation to the goddess as all goddess. And I'm going to use actually rhythm instruments connected with honoring Bast as a form of the great goddess. These are sistrum musical instruments, sistra. Great goddess, we call to you, we honor you, we invite you to come and be with us as we explore goddess shrines rituals. Goddess is one, goddess is many, goddess that's within us and around us. We call to you and honor you and invite you to guide us in our understandings and our learning. So be it. Goddess shrines have been part of humankind's ways of being since the most ancient of times. Some say some of the first sacred places with figurines were goddess shrines. There is a form of the divine feminine. Many people call this form a goddess image. Many people know this as the Willendorf goddess, about 4 1/4 inches of limestone found in a cave in Austria. Some say it's 35,000 years old. Is that an ancestor figure, or was it a depiction of Mother Earth or the Great Mother? No one knows for sure, but in contemporary times, that particular image has been reproduced, and people of many different places and spiritual and philosophical traditions have used that to aid them in spiritual practice and connecting with the great goddess in an ancient way, and for some, it's an embodiment of Mother Earth. So goddess shrines and goddess sacred sites go back to antiquity. And some of those ancient places continue to be with us in contemporary times. Perhaps the most famous goddess temple and icon and shrine of sorts is the Parthenon in Athens, Greece. The Parthenon, it's certainly shown some wear and tear over the ages, though restoration is underway, which is wonderful. This was an ancient holy place dedicated to Athena, goddess of wisdom, and it's become so iconic, not only iconic of Athens and the Greek civilization, but of things classical, that in the United States, in Nashville, Tennessee, they have created a reproduction of the Parthenon. And inside this reproduced Parthenon is the actual statue of Athena as it was envisioned to be. But it's not only a statue of one goddess. She holds in her hand a small version of the goddess Nike, goddess of victory. Yes, this is a place of cultural significance, historical significance, the old form and the reproduced forms from the late 1800s have gone there to learn. But for some, it is a actual living goddess shrine that is honored as a place to connect with the goddess in that form. There are other places from antiquity that continue to be with us today. One of the forms of the goddess that I work with myself is Bridget, and in Ireland there is Bridget's holy fire and sacred well. The fire was rekindled in the mid-90s. The St. Bridget place is an earlier Bridget, the pagan goddess place, and today it's a multicultural, international, interreligious, multilingual goddess shrine and sacred site. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, it's a 200-acre piece of land next to where I live in southwestern Wisconsin, USA. We have a variety of ceremonial areas on our nature preserve, and some of these are dedicated to goddesses. So among the goddess shrines that we have, which are outdoor shrines, we have Kuan Yin, which is next to our house, the goddess of compassion. And we have the Bosch Shrine. We have one inside in our temple room as well as outside on Ritual Ridge, dedicated to the cat spirit and to Bosch the cat goddess. We have the Shrine of the Great Mother, and this is a multicultural goddess shrine with images of goddesses that have mother goddess aspects, or that's their main form, is as a form of the Great Mother. So this is multicultural, international, through the ages that we have. And that goes back to our earliest days at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We moved to Circle Sanctuary back in 1983, and the Shrine of the Great Mother was one of the first of the goddess shrines created on our land. We also have a place called Bridget Spring, and it is a shrine and sacred site to the goddess Bridget and Saint Bridget, because we have people from a variety of faith traditions that are tuned into spiritual dimensions of nature. And it is a naturally occurring year-round spring that bubbles forth. At all of these sacred places, we have done ritual. And we have other shrines on the land, some that are more private, some are more visible. One of our oldest shrines is the Shrine to Mother Earth, and that's near our ritual circle. And we have some images of ancient depictions of Gaia, of Mother Earth. So we have done rituals at all of these places, rituals to discern about creating the shrine there, rituals of shrine creating, rituals of dedication and alignment. And We've had group rituals at these sites, as well as people have done their own personal rituals. Some of the rituals have been connected with rites of passage. Some people have chosen to get married at the Bridget Spring to renew their vows. And we've had a croning there and a coming of age in the young womanhood. So there's a variety of ways you can do goddess shrine rituals at ancient shrines as well as contemporary ones. In addition, the shrines we have at Circle Sanctuary, perhaps the most famous of what I call a goddess shrine in the USA, is actually considered a historic and iconic American monument. It is the Statue of Liberty. I have considered it as a sacred site since I was a young girl, visited it early on in my life with my family, and to experience a depicted presence of the goddess Liberty has been really a fabulous thing. Atop the U.S. Capitol is another form of Libertas, and she is the Statue of Freedom. And what I find is interesting is that a variety of goddess forms, often from classical Greek and Roman sources, had made their way into public architecture and civic art. Some people see these as iconic and representational of various principles, but for some of us, they also serve as a place where we can connect with the goddess in a religious sense, a spiritual sense. If you're going to be journeying to an ancient goddess shrine or to a contemporary one, or one that's connected with a particular form of religion, and most of the world's religions do have some form of divine feminine, and some have multiple forms of divine feminine. So if you're going to be journeying to a place where there is active goddess worship and honoring, it's really important that you do preparations before you go. It not only means doing some internal reflections, and some people make that a ritual. They will do a series of rituals with meditations to get guidance about what shrine to visit or to do to prepare for the shrine. And then a ritual is part of the journey. A ritual is part of arriving at the shrine. And then a ritual of thanksgiving before departing the shrine. I do think it's important if it's a shrine that is in a public space or in a private religious space, that you do research and learn not only a bit about its history, but a bit about the goddess or divine feminine form that it's aligned with. And most importantly, learn about the rules, the protocols. What are visitors permitted to do? Some permit photographs, some do not. Most encourage some form of offering, but there may be limitations on what kind of offerings you can bring and deposit there. And there's also opportunities to be able to learn about different goddess forms by going to an existing goddess shrine. Not only through the research needed for the preparation for the journey, but when you go to a goddess shrine and you do some form of honoring of the goddess, a ritual of honoring, of greeting, and then inviting the goddess to bring you messages, to speak to you, that can add a dimension to your understanding, not only of that site, but of the particular goddess that you are attuning to. In Buddhism, an example of a goddess that take some different names and different forms depending on which part of Asia or other parts of the world the shrine is at. Kuan Yin is the name she's known in China. In some forms of Buddhism, she is the White Tara or the Green Tara. And Kanan or Kanan in Japan is one of her forms. You'll find her Kuan Yin temples in many different countries, and they may all have their own variations. When I journeyed to Northern Virginia a number of years ago, I actually came upon a Vietnamese sacred site that was created in the 20th century, and there was a Kuan Yin shrine there. It was really amazing. I do work with Kuan Yin, so I do think that alignment led me to discover this as we were driving around in Northern Virginia. The monks that were tending the temple and the shrine didn't have English really well, and I didn't know their language. However, through a series of hand gestures and other forms of communication, nonverbals, verbals, we got the sense it was okay for us to visit the place, and we were able to be there. We did bring some offerings, and it was really amazing to have a way to connect with Kuan Yin in that particular context. In Hinduism, there are many types of goddesses, and goddesses by many names, and goddesses with many aspects. So whether it be Shakti or Parvati or Saraswati or Lakshmi or Kali, the great mother and her many forms, and she who changes forms, there is many types of goddess shrines, and not only in cities but rural areas and in homes. Within Judaism, the great mother Asherah, some say the menorah, is actually a depiction and inspired by her. And in Christianity, the Virgin Mary is honored by many who are into goddess spirituality or looking for the divine feminine. Some work with the Holy Spirit as Sophia, especially in Gnostic Christianity. And then in contemporary paganism, there are many paths and different cultural underpinnings, and some forms of paganism are very culture specific and some are multicultural. And so some of the world religions where you will find goddess shrines to this day, some of the old Isis shrines from old Egypt and across the Greco-Roman world that were dedicated to Isis became Mary shrines. So you will find some fluidity in terms of connecting with the divine feminine at sites that have been around for a long time. And indeed, as I mentioned, Bridget and at Kildare became Saint Bridget at Kildare. And now people of many different connections with Bridget and Saint Bridget go there to honor. So what are some of the things to do for a pilgrimage to an old goddess site? You prepare yourself, you get information about when it's open and what the rules are. Consider taking some type of offering, and it can be a verbal offering if physical things are not permitted to be left there, especially at places that are archaeological sites. In Bath, England, there is Sol Minerva that is honored at the baths there. And this is an example of a goddess shrine that morphed and changed over time as different people and different cultures interacted with the place. And now that is a historic site, so you need to abide by the protocols there. You may find that there are actually shrines in some museums, and you won't be able to do the kind of rituals that you could do at some of the old sites where you can actually tour. And some tours actually include ritual activity at these goddess shrines. That can be really a fabulous thing. At the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, years ago, I was in New York City and I knew about this goddess shrine that had been rescued from destruction in Egypt and deconstructed and reconstructed inside a museum in New York City. I've been told by some people who are in the pagan community in the New York City area over the years, some rituals, pagan rituals, have actually taken place there. And I know some pagan rituals have taken place at the Parthenon reproduction in Nashville, Tennessee. It's really amazing. I have found that if I'm in a museum setting and a shrine or part of a shrine is present there and it's open access, not that you can do whatever you want there, but you can actually be present in the space, it can be very powerful to have your own way of silently honoring and attuning to the goddess that is there. And just because they're relocated and maybe only partially in a museum doesn't mean that there isn't some way that you can use this like a tuning fork to attune to the goddess and to pay respect. In addition to going and visiting existing shrines in different parts of the world, old ones and new ones, I do think another part of ritual, and it can all be part of one big pilgrimage ritual, everything from preparation to the journey to the welcome at the spot to the honoring of the prayers of honoring for the goddess, moving into what I call the heart of goddess shrine work, where you are in active communion with the goddess and being available and open to messages. You might get this in the form of images in your mind's eye, internal self-talk, words coming to you. You may actually, eyes open, have visions. You may get a sense of feelings, or you may have a sense of presence and real attunement. During this communion part, which can be the heart of a much longer goddess shrine pilgrimage ritual or be its own kind of ritual, it's important that you are able to be present with the experience, but as you come out of it, not only give thanks, but one suggestion that I found helpful is that you call to mind from start to finish your experiences with communing with the goddess, messages, and you actually run that through your consciousness several times before you depart the space to help you remember it. Now, if you are in a location where you have a smartphone with you with a recording device and are able to actually speak into the memo or other recording app on your phone, that can be a really powerful way of being able to transmit some of what you've experienced so you later can revisit by listening and watching that, whether you do a video or audio. I do think that it's important before you leave that you do give thanks to the sacred forces, and if indeed there are humans, which usually there are, guarding and caring for the place, that you also express thanksgiving there. When they're museums, I usually go to the gift shop and also support the operation by getting some type of image or something from the shop so that I'm also contributing to the financial well-being of the goddess shrine in the museum or the historic site itself. When you get home, then I suggest another ritual, which is either at your home altar or to create a shrine with the image or with the focus on the particular goddess shrine that you visited, and to do additional work and to have a journal present or some other means of recording what you experience, and to not only review of your experience, but to find out some additional messages about how to integrate the experience. And I do think an important part of spiritual practice is the Thanksgiving, and then the taking what has happened and doing a kind of process so that you remember it and that you learn from it and that it can help you grow in your own spiritual life. If you're able to take a photo of the goddess shrine or shrines that you visit, or to take several, that can be really a fabulous thing, and you can make and basically get a copy of a photo and put it on your own shrine at home if you choose to create a home shrine to the particular goddess that you went and visited. I have a variety of shrines in my own house, and I do shrine work in different ways at these various goddess shrines. And for me, I have a multicultural, more universalist nature spirituality framework at this part of my spiritual life. And that's not to say all of these different forms of the divine that I align with should be dealt with all at once, but I have particular relationships with deities that are rooted in a number of different eras and places. What they all have in common is they've gone into the category that I often call multicultural and interreligious goddesses, that in addition to having a form of worship and attunement in the particular place where worship sprang forth, that they've since become more universal in people from different countries and different backgrounds, and even spiritualities have honoring them as part of spiritual practice. So the ones that I have in my own home are Bridget, and that's one of the goddesses that I'm connected with ancestrally as well as energetically in a variety of ways. And I have actually several Bridget shrines. My main shrine is in an enclosure, a little shrine area that I had built into the wall when my house got designed, so that I would have a place that I, very accessible, where I could go and do rituals every day. So every day when I get up, I go to the Bridget shrine at my house. But I also have in one of the bathrooms where I have a tub to soak in. I don't get to do that too often due to schedule. And shower, our place of water, I dedicated this to Ocean Mother. Yes, I also have some Ocean Father there and some Ocean Spirit, but most of the images there are to the Great Mother Ocean as a whole and in a variety of ways. One of the ways she takes across cultures is mermaids. But I also work with her as Yemaya, and there's lots of stories connected with that and how I came to resonate with her as I encountered people who were doing a Yemaya ritual at our pagan spirit gathering. I have a Libertas altar, of course. I do a lot of civil rights and religious freedom work. And I have a Kuan Yin altar. I have an altar of the magical Isis. I have a Bast altar and a Mother Earth altar. And there are some other ones as well, but those are the main ones. What I have with me to talk about in this workshop online are some images from my Bast altar. And Bast, the cat goddess in ancient Egypt, took a variety of forms. And one of the forms She has the body of a woman and the head of a cat. And so my main shrine image of the home Ba shrine is in that form, and it's an actual reproduction of a Bast statue that goes back to ancient Egypt. I also have a variety of Bast images, and this one I want to honor a distant cousin. Her name's Beckett, and after she passed, this came to me, and I remember her, and I remember our mutual love of Bast, and the latest image on the home Bast altar. I have Bast images, or Bastet, some people use that, other reproductions across time, and some very big and some small. And I have my very, very first Bast shrine image that goes back early in my priestess life. And I got this from a museum shop after I had actually been able to get access in the non-public part of the museum. Thank you, curators there, for letting me go and actually handle Bast images from ancient Egypt. How did I come to do all of that? I had a dream and saw myself doing ritual with images and then saw where the images were. And of course, if I get something really specific, the scientist in me is going to go check it out. And indeed, that happened. I actually was priestess of a ceremonial magical lodge back in the 1970s that predated Circle Sanctuary. And Bast was our principal deity. And I had all sorts of amazing things happen as a result of my connections with Bast back then. So I have created here for this workshop a Bast altar, and I'd like to share some items that you can consider having on your own home altar for whatever form of the goddess it might be. So on this Bast altar, I have a central figure, and then I have other figures that have special connections. In fact, my Bast altar has grown over time as people have gifted me with a variety of Bast and Bastetic images, as well as other kinds of cat images, and it is three tiers. There's one at the base on the floor, there is a lower shelf, and then the upper shelf, and these are some things from the upper shelf. Most home shrines will have at least one, often two or more, candles that are kindled not only to illuminate the shrine, but kindled as part of the ritual of tuning in to the goddess form. And Bast is associated with fire and the sun, but Bast also has a connection with the moon. And for myself in my spiritual life, one of the reasons I resonate with Bridget is there is a lunar as well as a solar connection. Well, that's one of my connections with Bast as well. She got the lunar associations as Greece started moving into Egypt and the whole Ptolemies and Greek paganism and the Greek religion started merging with the Egyptian religion, and many associated Artemis, the goddess, the Greek goddess of the moon and of beasts, of creatures, with Bast. And so for that reason, she started also having a lunar connection, according to some of the Bast lore. What else do I have here? I have things that are associated with Bast. One of her names is the goddess of perfume and scent jars. And so something that one can do ritually as one tends one's altar is to actually anoint a statue with oil. And this particular goddess actually has perfume as one of the things that's very connected with her. You might find some other symbols that would be workable. And one symbol is that of the sistrum. And I started out with one form of sistrum. This is a contemporary one. And another contemporary one actually has a number of shakers in it. And this, I want to honor my friend, Dane McCoy. This was her sistrum. And after she passed, this was gifted to me. So thank you, Dane. And Bas was a goddess of music and dance and pleasure, in addition to cats. So having a sistrum or several sistrums, you'll notice on many of my podcasts and pop-up live streams, I use my regular sistrum. These are my Bas sistra. And what else do I have here? Well, incense is another way of being able to do an honoring. And for some people, the kindling of incense as an offering is a ritual itself. So it is an example of a ritual of devotion. I think as you look to create a home shrine, it's important to pick a place that is going to be the shrine location for quite some time, ideally as long as you continue to work with it there, and then clear the space, not only physically, but many people will consecrate it a space for shrine making with at least one of the elemental tools. I actually use five elements. I will anoint it with salt or some other symbol of earth. I will burn incense. I will have a wand or fire to bless it with sacred fire. I will anoint it with sacred water and typically use a crystal to bless it with sacred spirit. So you may want, as part of your way of working with your home altar, to kindle candles, to anoint the statue. But offerings can be a really wonderful thing, actual physical offerings. And catnip is something that I've been using to connect with cats as well as with the cat goddess. So this is a piece of catnip. It's actual an offering from the main Bas altar at my home. So we're looking at home altar rituals for a goddess shrine. The ritual of creation, selecting the place, cleansing the space, and then gathering items that you feel are important for the shrine. Different traditions have different requirements for a shrine. Most have at least one image or a depiction of the goddess, the particular goddess. Some will actually have multiple depictions. Some will have symbols of attributes connected with the particular goddess. And then musical instruments, places to pour libations, to burn incense or oil, to kindle candles, to be able to have a place which is beautifully set and stable and protected. And then to be able to, once you've created it, to do a ritual of alignment, of dedication. I will do a form of invoking the form of the divine when I create shrines. So in this case, it's calling on Bas through ritual, inviting her to not only bless the space, but to be embodied in one or more of the images of the space, to do honor as you're dedicating the altar, and then to do good altar tending once you have dedicated the altar. Some people work with their goddess shrine with ritual every day, every night. Some, it's once in a month, often at full moon or new moon. Some, at every Sabbath. Some, as the spirit moves. I find that the altars that I have most visible, I'm able to do ritual just by being present with the altar and connecting with the goddess. It's an ever-present reminder of her being in our lives, and it's a way of developing our relationship. So the ritual of communing, that would be the kind of work that you do with your goddess shrine, part of your daily life, as part of your spiritual life. So what form does that take? It can take the form of calling on the goddess. It can be repeating the name or doing a particular chant. It may be spoken. It may be sung. Some people will call on the goddess at a shrine through a combination of movement and sound and visualization. Great Buzz, come to us. Great Buzz, be with us. Great Buzz, rejoice with us. Great Buzz, heal us, teach us. Help us. So movement, chanting, rhythms all can be a way of calling to the particular goddess that the shrine is for. Spending time just being present. What resonance do you experience? What messages come to mind as you have called to the goddess? And what do you need to do as part of your way of strengthening the relationship and being able to remember, honor, to care for the altar? These are some things that may come to you through a ritual of communing. I think it's a good idea to keep some form of spiritual notebook. Some people call them grimoires or spiritual diaries, where you note down rituals that you do, where you do them, and what you do, and what your experiences are. And part of the reason for keeping a spiritual journal in that way, it helps you remember what you've experienced when you give it a physical form. And it also helps you integrate and resonate with your experience at the shrine. And it also helps be a good reference. And when you've had an especially powerful ceremony and experience, then you have a record of what you've done, and you very well may want to learn from that and incorporate it in future things that you do at the shrine. Often after shrine work or shrine visits, you have the experience during the visit, but then after the experience of visiting the shrine or working with your home shrine, there's that period of integration, of processing your experience. You may have dreams, you may have visions, you may have synchronicities that just happen as a result of the resonance and the time that you spend at a shrine. Ritual of decoration. You may not find this widespread, but this is something that I've done as part of my home altar tending. In addition to working with the particular deity at each of the shrines that I have, I celebrate the cycles of the sun, the solstices, the equinoxes, and the cross-quarter days, the eight Sabbaths. And as part of my celebration, every 6.5 weeks or so, I will decorate my home, and that includes altars, and that includes my various goddess shrines, and I have some god shrines as well. So it is a way of being able to attune to that form of the divine and to join that divine in the spiritual celebration of the season. Perhaps the goddess shrine ritual that most people do is the ritual of supplication. That is calling on the goddess to help you or help others in some way. So here at this Bas shrine, Bas, you who are goddess of sun and moon, you who are goddess of cats, of healing, of music, of dance, of celebration, you who are fierce, you who love pleasure, come and be with us, hear our prayers. We call to you to bless cats of many types around the world. Special blessings for endangered and threatened species of felines. We ask you to send healing to all who have lost cats, that are grieving the loss of a beloved cat. We call on you as goddess of healing to help us as individuals and humankind to find good ways to stay healthy and well and to take some pleasure in this different time that we have in our world due to the pandemic. And we call to you in your segment, in your fierce form, your lion-headed form, to disperse, dispense, dispel, to release, to transform, to move the COVID virus away from humankind and creatures, to restore humankind and creatures to wellness. And Bas, we call on you to aid us in working together for a healthier planet. Bas, we call to you, we honor you, we ask these prayers, and guide us as to ways that we can help manifest what we have prayed for. So be it. So if you do a request of a form of the goddess using a goddess shrine, then it is a good idea to do some kind of offering. Some do the offering before, some do it after. Some will say praise and do a praise piece. Some will physically take an object and present it to the goddess image. Now, the goddess image is a physical representation and a link that helps us in our imagination, in our visualization, in our connection with the goddess. We know that the goddess is beyond the actual physical. It's a spiritual force. And one of the wonderful things about goddess images is they can really help us connect. I realize for some people, they are a form of religion or spirituality that really is not into image work. And if that happens to be your path, there are ways that you can work with a goddess shrine without necessarily having a physical representation of the goddess. You could use a candle or write the name as a way of having a focal point to attune to. So we've had the ritual of creation, the ritual of dedication. And another thing to say about dedication is you're calling the goddess to be present, to bless, but to actually be embodied in the shrine. So in addition to the activation, should you need to move or relocate the shrine, it is a good idea to do a deactivation, a dedication, a ritual of transport and transformation, rather than just assuming that, okay, you can dismantle the altar without having complications. So it's a very good idea if it's a place that you've been doing a lot of work with, that before you move, if you're changing households, for example, so is to do a ritual of closure, to actually shut the ritual down, to ask the goddess's help in the deactivation, and then to embody that goddess image into one or more objects, and then carefully put those objects in a container until you relocate and are able to set up the altar again. So we've got creation and dedication. We have the ritual of communing, and through meditation, through singing, we have the ritual of dedication, decoration, where you're attuning to the seasons. We have the ritual of supplication, where you are asking for help. And regardless of whether you get the immediate help right away, the ritual of thanksgiving is very important. When you're creating and working with a goddess shrine, you're essentially having an outer manifestation of the inner reality of sacred relationship. So it's important that you focus, that you attune to that particular form of the divine, and that you pay respects. And then as you continue your work with that, you grow and evolve your work with the shrine. Do you take pictures of your own shrines? Well, that's a matter of personal preference. For myself, I do document the various shrines I've created. Most of the shrines that I work with in my own household have been in place for over 20 years since I moved into this house, since the house was built. There is also goddess shrines that are ritual specific, that are temporary goddess shrines. So before signing off, I thought I would share a few words about this. And I put on, with the help of a number of Circle Sanctuary community ministers and volunteers and ministers in training, a variety of different festivals and workshops. And in some of our gatherings, we will set up a shrine dedicated to a particular goddess or other divinity, or sometimes it's a multifaceted form. And in terms of the goddess Bast, we've had Bast shrines as part of pagan spirit gathering since its earliest days, since it began in 1980. And different people have taken on the setting up and caring, tending of the Bast shrine. So that's an example of a shrine that's up for a very specific period of time. In the case of Pagan Spirit Gathering, it's 8 days. We've been in a pandemic since 2020, so now we have virtual Pagan Spirit Gathering, and we'll have some more information about that at the Circle Sanctuary website. It's our big summer solstice gathering that we do. Some people will have a goddess shrine that's created by people taking part in a particular ritual. For example, we've just had Imbolc. It's a sacred Celtic fire festival. It welcomes in the spring. It's a fire festival connected with the goddess Bridget. So we have had at our Imbolc celebrations a community altar, which is a Bridget shrine where people bring their own Bridget images. And every year it's different, as different people have contributed in different ways. And it's always fabulous to be able to have a community created shrine. In fact, creating the shrine itself is a community bonding ritual. As with taking down a home shrine when you're preparing to relocate, if you're doing a goddess shrine specifically in connection with a festival, a moon celebration, or some other event, then after the ritual is complete, then doing, honoring a Thanksgiving, you actually have a number of these rituals I've talked about all rolled into one, and then a deactivation so that as people take their individual images home with them, energized with the blessings of the ritual and the shrine as it existed during that ritual time, that it all flows in a good way. Well, it's important to conclude any goddess shrine ritual workshop and shrine work with a Thanksgiving. We give thanks to Boss in your many forms. We give thanks for you being here with us in this time of learning. And we call to you as Great Mother, and we call to the All Goddess. We give thanks to the Divine. We give thanks to the Goddesses, one and many. May we continue to grow and learn as part of our spiritual journey. And may the power of the Great Goddess be within us and around us now and in times to come. So be it. So I give thanks to everyone who is listening to this Nature Spirituality podcast on Goddess Shrine Rituals live, and to all of you who will be listening later. I also give thanks to our CSNP podcasting team, in particular tonight, David and Jeanette Ewing, who are Circle Sanctuary ministers, and who also share a great love of cats and Bost with me and some others in our community. Also want to give thanks to Casey, who does our social media, Laura and Deborah, who also do podcasting, as does David and Jeanette. So giving thanks to them and to everyone who's supporting our CSNT work, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. You can find out more about our podcast on CSN Podcast on Facebook and on the Circle Sanctuary website. You'll also find a schedule. I want to give thanks to everyone who's been tuning in through Facebook Live, through my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page. Eventually, I do endeavor to have these podcast workshop live streams also go to the YouTube channel platform. I have a Selena Fox channel, and I'm starting to put some of my videoed podcast up at that location. Circle Sanctuary also has a YouTube channel, as well as is on Facebook, the Circle Sanctuary community, on Twitter and Instagram, as well as YouTube. So I give thanks to everyone who is tuning in and supporting, and may the Bost as Cat Goddess and as Goddess of Good Times, may she guide us to be able to have good times no matter what's happening in the rest of the world. May we find good ways of growing spiritually, to take challenges as opportunities, to creatively learn more about life and ourselves, and to attune to the divine. We give thanks to the goddess within us and around us. We give thanks. We give thanks. we give thanks. And thank you all for tuning in. And we invite you to continue to celebrate the divine, to celebrate nature. And we hope you will tune in to more podcasts in the future and live streams. Many thanks, many blessings. Good night.
It's really no big deal. And this is every day, guys.
She's a mother off to work. She is driving in her car. She's a goddess in the elevator, rising like a star. They say she's working like a man, but they don't understand. She's dancing with the goddess in her heart.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.